Welcome to Off the Charts, the Horse Racing Stakes Picks podcast. I am your host, Dave Ginsburg, with expert horse player Steve Duckhorn. How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing great, Dave. How are you today?
Doing great. Another week into the third entry in the podcast here. You did have a bit of a rough week last week out there last weekend at Saratoga, but that's racing, right?
It is, Dave, and as I went back, and I'm pretty hard on myself as it relates to my selections. I've set the bar pretty high for myself, and have high expectations. But when I really went back and reviewed it, I was right there with a lot of my selections. Some of them were some pretty nice price plays, and if the listeners had played them across the board and had done some things with some of the plays, played them in trifectas. And some of the gimmicks, they might have got lucky. But my expectation is that I'm going to pick winners, and I'm going to take top selections, and they're going to win. And as you know, from the first week we started doing this podcast, it was, you know, that was a pretty high bar to have to try to achieve. Yeah. In the second week, we had done so well, that weekend of the Travers at Saratoga. So, my feeling is that it was a rough week, but it wasn't awful. But our expectations are pretty high, and so I'm ready to jump into it. But I think, you know, first, I think you're probably going to want me to just to kind of really quickly review.
Give us a review of what happened last week and we can go from there.
Yeah. So we picked some races at, you know, the big stakes races at Saratoga last Saturday. We picked the ninth race at Saratoga, which was the Saranac, and our second selection was a winner that paid $14.40, so a nice price horse that paid a decent mutual on a win bet. And our second and third selections, if you had put those in a box with our top selection, you would have got an exacta that paid $28.75. So not that bad of a start. The 10th race at Saratoga was the Spinaway, and that was personally painful for me. My top pick, Maya Malibu, was a 12-1 long shot in the race and just got beat on the wire. And I actually had a $3,900 pick three with that horse as my single in the third leg. And so that really cost me on the wire. The horse paid $770 to place and $490 to show. But another horse with a decent price that I selected on top that was right there. The 11th race was the Woodward, and as I said in my comments last week, you know, Gunrunner was going to be difficult to beat, and we picked Gunrunner as our second selection. I tried to beat Gunrunner, and he impressed me. He ran off, won easy, really nice horse.
Yeah, amazing. That was an amazing race. Just watching that out, there's just no way to beat him.
No, that was really impressive, and certainly is setting him up nicely for the Breeders' Cup Classic, where I'm sure he's going to run to Arrogate, and that should be a pretty interesting race. The 12th race was the Glens Falls, and we really didn't do much in that race. My third choice wound up running third and paid $320 to show. And then I went to Del Mar and had two selections at Del Mar. We picked the 7th race, which is the Del Mar Debutante, and our top pick scratched in the race. But our third pick ran second at 20+1 odds and paid $14.20 to place and $6 to show. And then we also selected the 9th race, which was the JC Maybe, and our top pick ran second and paid $4.60 to place and $3.40 to show. So we were all around it. The horses that I had picked in my top three selections did perform, but they didn't perform to my expectations because, like I said, Dave, I do this to win, to win races. But all the things, all the horses I picked and selected were all competitive in all the races that I selected. And I'm looking forward to attacking Saturday's stakes It's an interesting card that I've handicapped, and so we can probably move on to our selections.
Just a quick comment. It's sad. It's always sad when Saratoga closes. I love the Saratoga meet, and you look back and it was a pretty good meet overall.
It was a great meet, and I definitely held my own. had a lot more success this year playing Saratoga. You know, every race is competitive. Every race has got top trainers, top jockeys, and, you know, narrowing it down to a selection is difficult out there. Very. But yeah, it you know, it just seems like it starts, you blink your eyes, and it's over.
It's over, and summer's gone. Yeah. And
yeah, we start to move into fall racing, which has, you know, a number of interesting meets. And, yep. And, you know, because the Breeders' Cup's in November, so, you know, you get a lot of stakes races that are preps for the Breeders' Cup. So you still get a lot of, you know, graded stakes and a lot of races to handicap that have a lot of value to the horses and the trainers and the owners as far as getting themselves into the Breeders' Cup and setting themselves up for the Breeders' Cup. So, yep. So yeah, but it is sad when both Del Mar and Saratoga end.
And then we roll into the fall, and we got you're going to look at Kentucky Downs, which is a great track, and you got some good picks here for this coming weekend on Saturday, some stakes races.
I do. So, you know, the interesting thing about Kentucky Downs, Dave, is that the meet only lasts 5 days.
Yeah,
which is
in a blink of an eye for sure.
you know, incredible purses, top trainers, top jockeys, all kind of. You know, attack Kentucky Downs for 5 days and try to take, you know, as many of these large purses down as they possibly can. So, you know, it's a 5 day meet. It's only a turf track. There's no dirt racing, which makes it interesting, to handicap. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to, handicap the last four races on the card on Saturday, which are all stakes races. Four stakes races, three of them are graded stakes races. And the nice thing for us from a betting perspective is those four races, constitute the late pick four. So we're going to try to make some selections, try to be competitive in the late pick four and hopefully, cash a nice ticket.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to go to the seventh race, which is the first race that I'm going to handicap. It's a mile. It's the ladies' turf. It's a grade three. And the purse is $350,000. So like I said, they're racing for some money out there. And my selection in this race is going to be the two horse. There's a number of things I like about the two horse. The two horse's name is Linda. One of the things that I've learned about Kentucky Downs is it's really helpful if the horse has raced before a Kentucky Downs, since this is such a unique. This track is not even an oval. It's much more like European racing. So it's got a lot of long straightaways and strange turns, and it's a really deep track, thick track from a grass standpoint. So it makes handicapping challenging. But this horse, as you can see on September 3rd last year, won a race at Kentucky Downs. So Linda is 1-for-1 at Kentucky Downs. I like that. BJ Hernandez is the jockey. BJ was the second leading jockey at Kentucky Downs in their short meet last year. I like the fact that this horse at this distance has raced three times, has won once and finished third the other two times. A 96 buyer from a lifetime perspective. A four-year-old filly, and as I think you know, Dave, I like horses that are in their four-year-old season, and this race is for three-year-olds and up. So, you know, you can, you know, there's horses that are 5 years old and older in this race, but I like horses that are going from their three-year-old campaign to their four-year-old campaign. Has not had a lot of success this year, but Linda's only been out four times. Ian Wilkes is already in the very short meet, has already won once out of four starts. When he combines with BJ Hernandez, he's 19%. And so I think this horse might be coming into his own. And the big factor for me was the fact that the horse has had a race on this track and has won at this track last year. And that was the deciding factor of me selecting the two as my top selection.
And as you said, Hernandez is a really hot jockey this last 7 days. He's with 10 races, 3-2-2. So he's doing pretty good this last week.
He is very, very under the radar jockey that I've made money with in the past. Yep. And you know, I always look at horses that BJ Hernandez is on. My second selection is the two-horse Miss Temple City. Miss Temple City is morning line, even money. So this is clearly the horse to beat. You know, tons of class, a number of grade one stakes races under her belt. Is 0-for-2 so far this year. Opened up her season. Looks like she went over to Europe, over to England, and raced in a group one out at Ascot. Didn't race very well at all there. And then came back and raced at the Matchmaker at Monmouth. And as a 4-to-5 shot, ran third. It looks to me, based on the form from last year, you can see, you know, had a race there in England on June 15th and then went to Saratoga for a couple of races. Didn't really pick up her first win until her fourth race in after that layoff from Keeneland. So it looks like this is the kind of horse that needs to kind of get racing a few times before you actually see her best performance. And I'm kind of counting on that in this particular race as I try to beat, you know, an even money shot. So, but Miss Temple City certainly has all the class, and if she runs her best race, she'll win the race. But I am going to try to beat her with a 2. So the 5 Miss Temple City is my second selection.
Yeah. And you also have to look at, lifetime earnings. My gosh, $1.4 million that horse. So it's hard to,
horse has made a lot of money, raced in a lot of big stakes races. But like I said, I convinced myself and gave myself some reasons why she could get beat. And I've tried to like give you those reasons as I've walked through this race. My third selection is going to be the 7, Susie B. Susie B is trained by Mike Maker. Mike Maker was the leading trainer by a long shot last year at Kentucky Downs. So he's absolutely somebody that you need to keep your eyeballs on. He's 21% at Kentucky Downs. He's 25% in graded stakes at Kentucky Downs. This horse is off a layoff. Tyler Gaffleone is the jockey. Tyler is 21% with Mike Maker. I'm not sure, you know, as I look at this horse and kind of look at how she has raced off layoffs, I don't really see any outstanding performances coming off a layoff. The other thing is this horse has a race over the track here at Kentucky Downs, but it was a race where she was 3-to-1 and she didn't win. So again, does she like the track? Well, she probably thinks the track's okay, but I don't see anything that stands out to me in the race that she did race on September 3rd at Kentucky Downs, got the lead and kind of gave it up. But it for me, it was important to make sure that I included Mike Maker in my top 3 picks, since he has demonstrated a great deal of success with horses at Kentucky Downs. So in the 7th race at Kentucky Downs, my selections are the 2, the 5, and the 7.
All right. And we're going to move on to the 8th race here at Kentucky
Downs. We are going to move on to the 8th race. The 8th race is 6.5 furlongs on the turf. It's the Kentucky Downs Lady Sprint. $350,000 purse. So another race where, you know, there's money to be made. And my selection in this race is going to be the 5, Lull. And lots of things I like about Lull. First of all, the horse is trained by Christophe Clement. Clement is 33% at Kentucky Downs. So, and 50%, 2 out of 4 races in sprints. He doesn't bring a lot of horses there. He doesn't enter a lot of horses. But when he does, they're well-placed and ready to win. As you can see, this horse has had his three most recent workouts were on the training turf track at Saratoga. That last one was a 4-furlong workout where she was 2nd out of 49 of all the horses that worked that day. Also, Dave, if you look, you can see another horse that's raced at Kentucky Downs is 1-for-1 there, raced there last year in a stakes race, won the race. With BJ Hernandez, who's back up again today.
Right.
This horse has got speed. So I've met BJ as an aggressive rider. I expect him to be on the front end. I think this horse is probably well positioned and we get Lull at 5-to-1 on the morning line. My second selection in the race is the 2, Fairpoint. So Fairpoint is trained by Chuck McGahey. Chuck is 20% when he uses Ortiz on the turf. And when his horses are third off a layoff, he's 13%. So, again, not outstanding trainer stats, but did have a really good 2016. This horse raced 7 times last year, won 4 of them. Good trainer jockey combination. I do generally like horses third off the layoff, which this horse is. Usually they're coming into a race and into their best form third off the layoff. So there's reasons to like this horse. Raced at 91 Buyer off that layoff from Belmont at Saratoga, bounced a little bit the last time and ran a 92 speed figure. But I certainly think this horse could be right there. Don't like this horse as much as my top selection, obviously, but my second selection in this race is the 2 horse Fairpoint. My third selection is the 1 horse Mississippi Delta. Mark Cassie is 22% in sprints at Kentucky Downs. He's 2 for 5 when he uses Le Peru, who's the jockey today. This horse does have a race over this track last year, which she did win. So she's 1 for 1 in Kentucky Downs, won a minor stakes race out there last year on September 10th. Not sure that I like this jockey change to Le Peru. Might have been happier had Florent Giroux been on the horse, since Giroux won with her last year in that race. And Florent Giroux was the top jockey out at Kentucky Downs last year. So does have a nice string of bullet workouts, has some really nice workouts. I'm coming off that July 24th race at Saratoga, so I can tell the horse is feeling good. And certainly has, won a lot of money, almost $700,000, 17 lifetime starts on the turf, and has won 5 of them. So my third selection in this 8th race is the 1 Mississippi Delta.
All right. Let's move on to the 9th race. Another big
race. Yeah, these purses are unbelievable, Dave.
This is a short one.
Yep, another 6.5 furlong race is the Kentucky Turf Sprint, Grade 3. This is for 3-year-olds and up. And my selection in this 9th race is the 6 horse. And the 6 horse is Wyeth. Tom Amos is the trainer. Lots of things to like about Tom Amos as a trainer. Tom is 17% at Kentucky Downs. He's 21% in turf races at Kentucky Downs. And as a trainer, just overall, this horse is 3rd off a layoff. Tom is 29% trainer when he's racing horses 3rd off the layoff. You can see that this horse was bought for a lot of money. This is a $300,000 purchase. So I know that they probably had a lot of high hopes for this race and for this horse. And if you look at the past performances, Dave, you'll note that the last 2 races this horse raced, he was on dirt, and this looks like a turf horse. Of the 4 wins this horse has had in his lifetime, 3 of them have come on the turf. So Amos gets this horse back on the turf, and a 3rd race off the layoff. Drayton Van Dyke is the jockey, good young jockey, West Coast jockey who looks like he's here to ride some horses at this meet. And my selection at 8-1 is Wyeth, the 6 horse. Okay. My second selection in the race is the 7 horse, Undrafted. Wesley Ward is the trainer. Wesley Ward's got some great Kentucky Downs stats as well. 20% at Kentucky Downs, 29% in sprints at Kentucky Downs. And he's 2 for 3 with Garcia at Kentucky Downs, who's this young jockey that he uses on a lot of his horses. Wesley Ward has given this kid a chance, and this kid rides a lot of good horses for Wesley Ward. Not a well-known name, but certainly knows his way around Wesley Ward's horses. Horse does have 3 races at Kentucky Downs and is 0 for 3 in terms of wins. Has had a 2nd and a 3rd at Kentucky Downs. Does have a high buyer lifetime speed figure of 101 on the turf, so I certainly know this horse is capable and skilled enough to race on the turf and can produce the kind of figure that could win this race. Second off a layoff, which I kind of like. What I don't like and what I didn't make this horse my top selection is I'm not a big fan of seven-year-old horses. Once, as I told you multiple times in these podcasts, you know, once these horses start to get to be six, seven, 8 years old, you just don't – you don't know what you're going to get. You don't know when they're – when they're – their outstanding performance is going to start to go downhill as they get older, as they start to age. And so maybe this horse won't be as sharp as he's been in the past. And, you know, that's why I'm counting on trying to beat this horse in this race. But there's enough there for me to make this horse my second selection. My third selection is the five horse. The five horse is Bondurant. Bondurant is, you know, the thing that kept me from putting this horse in as a top one or two selections is that Ian Wilkes is the trainer, and Ian Wilkes is only 1-for-18 in Kentucky down sprints. So this is really not his forte. As you can see, this horse has raced twice at Kentucky Downs lifetime, has not finished in the money. His most recent start at Kentucky Downs was last year in September. Looked like he got blocked, probably had a rough trip, but, you know, ran fifth. So this is not really a horse for the course, which I think is important when you're handicapping Kentucky Downs. But, you know, it is BJ Hernandez. He and Ian Wilkes do well when they team up together. They're 19% for the past year. So I thought this horse, you know, out of Warfront, I like Warfront horses as a sire for turf racing. This is a four-year-old colt. So again, another horse that's in his four-year-old campaign, which is when they should be at their peak. And so I have made Bondurant, the five horse, my third selection. So in the ninth race at Kentucky Downs, my selections are the six, the seven, and the five.
Great. And now we go down to the last race we're going to look at, the 10th race.
So the 10th race at Kentucky Downs is a mile and a half on the turf. It's the Kentucky Turf Cup. It's a grade three. It's for three-year-olds and up. And my selection in this race is going to be the six horse. Yes, Dave, the six horse. The six horse is Zulu Alpha, and Zulu Alpha's morning line is 30-1.
Wow.
And
that's
and,
some money making opportunities right there.
It is. And there's some really interesting things about this horse. One of the things that I like is that this horse has won his last two times on the turf and won easily his last two times on the turf, granted at Indiana Downs. And so not the, you know, not the most classy racetrack on the planet, but has won easily, is bred for the turf, has a Tomlinson of 330. On the turf, is a four-year-old. So I know that these four-year-olds are, you know, there's lots of upside when they become four-year-olds. But even more interesting for me, this horse was trained by Dermot Weld over in Europe, who is a top trainer. And so this horse was in his barn before this thing finally moved to this, you know, pretty unknown trainer, this Jose Fernandez. But this tells me that they had some high hopes for this horse. Calumet Farm owns this horse. So Calumet is, big, you know, legendary ownership and horse racing for, you know, forever. And so there are some things to like about this horse. 30-1. Wasn't overwhelmed by any of the other horses in the race who I've, many of them who I've seen race this year and in big races. And so I'm going to take a shot. Robbie Alvarado, who I think is a really good turf jockey. Robbie was third in the jockey standings last year at Kentucky Downs. And if things go this horse's way, you just don't know what might happen here. This horse looks like he's got a lot of upside, and I'm going to take a flyer on a 30-1 shot as my top selection in the 10th race, the six horse.
And I'd be surprised when you look at the last two races. There, you know, there were big wins on both. The last time he was the favorite. I'd be surprised that it doesn't get bet, but I'm hoping not. Yeah, I want it to stay at 31. I'll take that.
Yeah, I this horse will be a price, Dave. There is, you know, there's a number of classy stakes horses this race who have been banging heads with some of the top turf horses in the country this year. but I like horses that have some upside. And you know, there's 30-to-1 shots and then there's 30-to-1 shots. I like 30-to-1 shots where I can make a case for them. Most times when you look at the past performances and you see a morning line of 30-to-1, you look and you go, yeah, I could see why this horse would be 30-to-1 or more. I look at this horse and I'm like, yeah, this is a 30-to-1 shot that I actually think might have a chance for all the reasons that I've explained. And certainly the horse is in good form. We'll have to improve on the buyer speed scale in the next performance. And it's going to take a big performance for this horse to win, but that's why the horse is 30-to-1 warning line. But I felt like I could make a case for this horse. My second selection in this race is the 4 Oscar nominated 7-to-2 morning line. Mike Maker, horse has already raced at Kentucky Downs last year on September 11th in a non-graded stakes race, won the race, won it easily, won it with Florent Giroux, though. And Giroux rode this horse the last time in the Arlington Million, and Maker makes the switch to Le Perreux today. So I don't know how much sense that really makes to me.
Yeah.
Third off the layoff, I think I've given you all the information about Mike Maker and how impressed I am with his accomplishments when he races at Kentucky Downs. But Oscar nominated, 18 lifetime starts on the turf, has won 3 of them. That doesn't overwhelm me. The top buyer speed figure lifetime for this horse, 98. I mean, our top selection only, you know, has to improve, you know, 6 to 10 lengths, which could happen with a young horse like my top selection. And that horse could be right there with these kinds of, you know, buyer speed figures. So again, you know, class has raced in grade ones the last 2 races, but hasn't won them. So, you know, I have to include the horse. It would be ridiculous for me to leave Mike Maker's horses here at Kentucky Downs out of the top 3, but I'm going to try to beat this horse as well, the rest of them, with my selection of the 6. My last and third selection in this race is the 1 horse, Postulation. I had Postulation in that American St. Ledger that you see in the past performances at Arlington Park the last time. It's one of my top picks. The horse went off at 5-to-1. And won the race pretty easily. The notes in the racing form say he hugged the rail, and he did. Got a perfect trip. It played out exactly like I thought it would. This trainer jockey combination though, Dave, is 44%.
Yeah.
And I thought it would be hard for me to leave this horse out of my top selections. This trainer's 20% in graded stakes, and so, you know, it's at least, you know, another under the radar trainer who's 26% in 2017, 23 starts, 6 wins. And you know, if this horse wins the race, I would not want to not have had it in my top 3. So my selections in the 10th race, Kentucky Downs, $600,000 purse are the 6, the 4, and the 1.
And that is a wrap. I guess you got some good picks here. One thing I want to mention, you know, we have that big hurricane that's hitting Florida. I know Gulfstream Park is going to be closed for who knows if Gulfstream Park will still be there, depending on the way the hurricane is. But our prayers are going to be with all of our family and friends that are out in Florida, and hoping that the track survives. But of course, the entire state. Let's hope for the best out there. I know it's going to be a pretty tough weekend out there.
Yeah, my prayers are with those folks as well, Dave. Yeah. That was a good mention on your part, and hopefully the devastation will stay off the coast as much as possible, and everyone will come out of this thing okay.
Well, thanks for listening to Off the Charts, the Horse Racing Stakes Picks podcast, and we hope we come through with some big winners for us as well as for you, and with these selections and good racing.
Thanks, Dave.